Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our gospel lesson, John chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, did he come among us to set up Blue Cross? Or did he come among us to go to the cross? Blue Cross or the cross? Now, if you open the pages of your Bible and you look at people's reactions to the Lord Jesus, you get the very distinct impression that they believe that he came to this world to set up Blue Cross. Mark chapter 1, we're studying Mark in our Bible class, and Mark chapter 1 is a pretty typical day for the Lord. It says this, it says, they brought to him all who were sick and all who were oppressed by demons, and the whole town was gathered together at the door. And Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Now, aside from the demons, it sounds kind of like what? Blue Cross. Did Jesus come to set up Blue Cross? Or to go to the cross? But you can understand. You can understand the reaction of the people in Mark chapter 1 and in all sorts of situations that were very similar. And you can understand it why. Well, you ever been sick? Have you ever been sick? It sounds like a dumb question, but you know, if you have ever been sick, you are glad for something. You are glad for modern medicine. Because some of us, and myself included, wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for modern medicine. Now, go back to pre-modern medicine. Go back to what they had in our Lord Jesus' day, and you can understand people's desperation as they come to him, as they gather around the door, as the whole town comes to see Jesus so that they can be healed of one thing or another. You can understand it. It's something that's put beautifully in an old musical. You may remember it from the late 60s. Jesus Christ Superstar. Anybody remember that one? Jesus Christ Superstar. And there's a scene in the temple where the crowds are just mobbing the Lord Jesus, and they sing a song, or it's really more like a chant. And they say this, all of them together. See my eyes, I can hardly see. See me stand, I can hardly walk. I believe you can make me whole. See my tongue, I can hardly talk. See my skin, I'm a mass of blood. See my legs, I can hardly stand. I believe you can make me well. See my purse, I'm a poor, poor man. Over and over they chant that to the Lord. They say that as they crowd around him. And what they're doing is tying our Lord Jesus down, restricting our Lord Jesus to just a limited purpose, which ends up being for each of them their purpose, what they felt it was they needed the most. But did our Lord Jesus come to set up Blue Cross or to go to the cross? I mean, how is any of that different than other situations with our Lord? Like, for instance, when he fed the 5,000. He fed 5,000 people miraculously with the fish and the bread. You remember that? He fed 5,000 people miraculously. And as soon as he does that, people who see it happen, what do they say? Do they say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. You're the Savior. You're the Messiah. They don't say that. They say, sir, from now on, give us this bread. Continue to feed us. Free food for life. And how is that different than those who wanted to come and make Jesus king by force? so that he could lead them to drive out their hated enemies who were oppressing them. And they were doing just like their forefathers did back in the book of Judges, or actually book of Judges, 1 Samuel. And what happens there? The Lord says, I am the Lord your God. I am your father. I will watch out for you. I'll take care of you. I will be there with you. And the people say, you know, Lord, that's great. Thanks so much. But would you take a chair? We want a king like the other nations have. And how is that different than Satan when he tempted our Lord Jesus? And our Lord Jesus was hungry. He was starving 40 days out in the wilderness. And what did Satan say to him? He said, you're hungry? Tell these stones to become bread. It almost sounds like do a magic trick, which almost sounds like today's gospel lesson. The wedding at Cana. Now, back in the day, when you had a wedding, it was a week-long affair. The people who lived in those little country towns, they had a hard life. There were few things to celebrate, but when a wedding came along, it was a chance for the whole town to have a celebration. It was a chance for the whole town to feast. And it was also one of the few chances that a family would have to show that they were something. In that culture, hospitality is big. And now you can show how hospitable you are, that you are an upstanding family. It's a matter of pride before the neighbors. You can put on a big feed for a big crowd. And of course, you'll have an open bar. Let's be honest. That's what it was. They'll have an open bar. And then what happens? They run out of wine. And it is a major embarrassment. It is a shameful embarrassment. People in those little towns, they like nothing more than to have something to talk about. And guess who they're going to be talking about for the next few months? And guess who can't show their face in public? You and your family, because of this embarrassment. And so knowing all of this, the mother of our Lord, Mary, comes up to her son as he's sitting there at the wedding feast. She bends over. She whispers in his ear, and she says what? They have no wine. They have no wine. And after 2,000 years, you can still hear the pause. The pause as he says to her, and? They have no wine, and? And now people have been bothered by his words. It comes out a little bit in our translation, but actually he speaks even more strongly to his mother. This is literally what he says. He said, what is that to me and to you, woman? Now, people get offended by that, and they say, how could he talk to his mother like that? But understand the situation. It is time now to put on the brakes. What does this have to do with the fact that they have no wine? What does this have to do with my purpose, what I came here for? Are we going to do a magic trick? Is that what this is about? Are we going to do Blue Cross? Or are we going to go to the cross? Now let's backpedal just for a moment, see if we can tie it all together. I want you to think about modern medicine again. Modern medicine, it does wonders. We are grateful for it, but for all the wonders that it does, modern medicine has one drawback. It has one failing. One failing and one drawback that you are going to find if you go over to Asante, or if you go over to OHSU, or if you go to the Mayo Clinic, or you go to Johns Hopkins University. Check out the statistics sometime and you give me the answer. Here's the question, what is the death rate for modern medicine? What is it? 100%. It's pretty expensive, but it's 100%, isn't it? Now you can take pills by the handful. You can go under the knife 6 days a week and twice on Sundays. And not to put it too bluntly, you're just postponing the inevitable. You are not budging that death rate by even a percentage point. It remains what? 100%. And that has stayed constant since the fall of man into sin. Which is why someone had to come to undo the fall of man. Now, this is what religions would seem to be about. There's all sorts of religions in the world, and each religion in their own way tries to resolve that question, undoing the fall of man. And what they will say to you is, what you need to do is this. Mankind has fallen into sin, or whatever they think the problem is. What you need to do is you need to meditate. What you need to do is you need to visualize. What you need to do is you need to pray. What you need is to do good deeds. What you need is to have right thoughts. What you need is to follow the rules. And look at the wedding of Cana. It's not any different. 6 stone water jars are there leaning against the wall. 6 is the Bible number for, among other things, incompleteness or falling short. Something that looks like the real thing but is not the real thing. 6 stone water jars that are not the real thing. And what are they there for? They are there for the outward washing, the ceremonial washing of the Jews. Folks thought that as you went out into the world, you would become unclean. So when you came into the house, you would do the ritual washing. It's not soap and water. You would do the ritual washings, and that would make you right before God, clean before God. Is that going to work? Is it going to wash you clean before Almighty God? It can cleanse the outside. But what about the inside? Of course, what do you take on the inside? You take wine. Wine goes on the inside. It goes down the inside because that's where your real problems come from, your sin. And the wine is better than water. And this wine is better than any kind of wine that's ever been there. And this good wine has been saved until the last days that we live in. What you have in the wedding of Cana is a parable contrasting 2 things, the old and the new. You remember a parable? What's the definition? An earthly what? Story with a heavenly meaning. Nobody speaks a word, but the parable's right there. Something's been replaced. The water has been replaced with wine. You have something better than just the outward washing. You have the blood of the Lord Jesus, which was shed on the cross. That alone washes you clean, makes you clean and righteous before God. Inside and out, you receive it in Holy Communion, in the wine of Holy Communion, in the sacrament. What are the words? Given and shed for you for what? The forgiveness of sins. We just moved from Blue Cross to the cross. Every time you come to the sacrament, it's the same message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God the Father made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Martin Luther, the fellow our church body is named after, called it the happy exchange. God did a switch. What he did was take your sin upon himself, and he gave you his righteousness. In our church, we simply say the Lord switched report cards with you. He took your F's, and you got his A's. That's not Blue Cross. That's the cross. That's not an outward temporary healing. That is an eternal and permanent healing. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you got Blue Cross, wonderful. Glad you got it. Or some other kind of health insurance. If you got it, you have those benefits, wonderful thing. But we remember that no matter how wonderful it is, it's outward, it's temporary, and we need something permanent. We need the cross. The cross that Jesus went to when his time had come, to use the words of the lesson for today. The cross that Jesus manifested his glory on. He took our sin, he gave us his righteousness. And where is the place his disciples always look? not the blue cross, but to the cross. And as we look at the cross, we believe in him. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.